I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 1. And in honor of our reigning Formula 1 champion, the number one Red Bull Racing RB20 chassis of Max Verstappen, 2024 World Driving Champion. Can't say team champion, because...
That's just not true, right?
Well, I mean, there's only so much one man can do. Mm-hmm.
Right, and Sean, can I just tell you, that's a simply lovely pick.
Yep, thank you. Thank you. All right, on tonight's episode, we'll talk some post news that came out after our final episode of 2024, and then we will kind of look back at some highlights of IndyCar, Formula One, and sports car, and then obviously Nate will slide some NASCAR in there for you.
Naturally.
All right. So the big news post, I think, us was the official announcement that Checo is no more.
Right? I mean, despite all the rumors that was circulating around.
My shock face.
Super shocked.
Yeah.
Christian,
are you in shock of it?
I am in utter disbelief. I can't believe Red Bull would do something like this. They had a contract. They are not fulfilling that contract. It's really just a huge letdown. I mean, I don't know what driver they could have thought killed it even more or was more deserving of this seat. I mean, clearly Checo had driven his out of his mind this past season to deserve that seat.
Yeah.
I mean...
The king of the streets.
When the cars become this close, you cannot be that far off.
Nope. And yes, 100%.
Yes, the argument still comes back to the way Red Bull goes about their car and their number one and number two status of drivers. They clearly have not had a pairing that's close with one another since Max and Ricardo, I would say.
Right. Yeah.
And I not so much during like the last year or so, but like definitely in that first year of them together, that there was definitely that. But I mean, obviously, once Danny Rick saw that they were starting to favor Max, that's when he jumped ship. Fine, no worries. But I think this definitely reminds everyone to not go sign a contract super early either. I know that there is an exception to this rule with Hamilton and Ferrari because, I mean, when you can actually walk the walk, you know, you can do stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, with how questionable Perez was even coming off of last season, I didn't really get the reason to sign him super early this past season for 25. And then the way that development went for the car, it just, it flatlined and, McLaren and Ferrari caught up. And Mercedes to an extent too.
Yeah.
So, all in all, I am not. There is no distaste for any of the moves that go on. This is what F1 is, what Red Bull, not maybe not what F1 is, but this is what Red Bull is. So I'm glad they've gone with their young talent of Liam Lawson, and then they've also promoted Isaac Hadjar to to their B team. So that's perfectly all good and well. I guess the only thing that's an outlier in all this is Yuki's getting passed up again.
Yeah.
I think just for the sake of trying and not gonna, you know, screw him over, I would have probably just put Yuki into that second seat, told him you have 6 months to prove that you need
I don't know.
I would just say do halfway of the season. Because if you know you're not going to use
it. Yeah, you can't. I know. I agree kind of deserves it, but either you go the whole season or you don't. You can't be playing musical chairs because they, you know, if they're going to try and win the Drivers' Championship, you can't be playing musical chairs. I mean, they should have played it last year and bounced. Bounce Perez when they should have, but you know, they didn't.
Not fair.
I mean, that's my only thing. I mean, Max is Max. They got to figure it out. So,
yeah,
that was just my thoughts.
No, and I think it's more so you'll probably see a move for Sonoda to try and jump ship somewhere, which I mean, ideally, I shouldn't say ideally, most likely it would be Aston Martin for next year, just because of the Honda motors. But
I'm still not. I don't think unless they get rid of both drivers over there, because I think if anyone's going there, I think it's Max.
Well, and here's my theory with that. It would be. My whole thing is I don't know about Yugi going over there. I understand Honda is, but do they go without Yugi? Possibly. I think they've already made their bed with that.
Yeah,
And I would even say it's. I mean, going on a win.
Is Honda going to? Is McLaren going to Honda too?
I thought
They're staying with Mercedes, but they've
still the Toyota program or.
Yeah, yeah.
They've done like a small deal with Toyota, but so has Haas.
Haas, right?
Which is the. Confusing. Gotcha. Because Toyota's kind of got their hands in two teams.
Okay. Gotcha.
But as far as Aston Martin is concerned, I mean, my whole thinking is this is going to be Lance Stroll's last year. Again, my thinking. Mm-hmm. And then Max Verstappen goes over. And then it could be Yugi. It could be someone else. Going over to Aston Martin, which it could be Yugi. I'm not entirely sure. I would think maybe it's Max Verstappen and Fernando Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
That would be quite the dream team. If you want to call yourselves the best team on the grid, I mean, you got the two of the best in the business.
Technically, I heard the stat the other day. Technically, Aston Martin is the most experienced team on the grid now, going into 25.
Really?
Yeah. Between
the
races of the number of races competed between Alonso and Stroll, they've actually got the most number of races competed in.
Yeah.
By a driver.
Lance Stroll doesn't drive. He doesn't drive like an 8 years veteran.
And,
by no means.
And the other. Interesting bit is Stroll is actually now the Canada's how do they put this?
Canada's most experienced driver.
Yeah, he has the most races, most Formula One races driven by a Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sean.
So
he's more than Gilles Villeneuve.
Yeah, he's up.
Jacques.
Wow. Yeah, Jill, unfortunately, but, you know.
Yeah, I know, but still. even the legend himself, you know, less races than, I guess, the GOAT of Canada, right? But, I mean, I thought Nicholas Latifi was, but that's just, you know, my thoughts.
So is it
after this year, or, like, as in the 2025 season, or going into this? I think you said going into this, right?
Going into the season, right, Kristen?
I'm sorry, what? Repeat that?
The
most last experienced stat. Team?
Yes, going into 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's quite the stat.
24, I think, was probably... No? I think Aston was still the most experienced last year then.
All right. So let's move over to IndyCar. We had a driver named to a full-time spot with Yukos Hollinger, and that was Connor Daly.
I think it's a great addition, especially given he gave the team their only podium.
Yep, so nice reward there. Still finalizing all of his contract deals, but he will be in the seat for the full year.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
So that, yep, and that leaves two spots open at Dale Coyne Racing.
I mean, Romain Grosjean goes over there, right? Or is he? Would you say he's tapped out of IndyCar?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many people that are available for rides that could happen, but well, couldn't tell you, Nate. It's all over the place right now.
I mean, if Grosjean got passed up at Yonkos, I think that might be a sign that Grosjean does not have funding.
He had to find funding. So.
So then Linus Lundqvist, right?
If he brings the money,
he brings the money, Nate.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about
anyone filling those seats is bringing money. That's what's going on.
Yeah,
if you think about what you know, Ray Hall, it's you know, all the funding for Graham's seat is from Graham going out and finding sponsors,
right.
Right. You know, and
because he has a lot of connections,
and then you got DeFrancesco, whose family brought money, and then who else is over there? Jesus, I can't remember. I'm sorry,
Jack Harvey. Wait, no,
isn't it Rasmussen?
Yeah, Christian Rasmussen,
he's bringing money,
yep,
you know. So, anyways, so we'll see what happens over at Coyne, and they're expecting something between today and the middle of the month, this month, to finalize everything.
RLL is Ray Hall, DeFrancesco, and Louis Foster.
Oh, Louis Foster, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, good point, Christian. And Foster's bringing money, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, I think that's all the driver's stuff that happened. Post us. So, why don't we, let's just take kind of a look back at last season. And we'll just do, you know, quick hit, you know, just the thing that stood out to you from Formula One last season. Good, bad, indifferent.
A lot of different race winners. But
a lot of different ways. Yep.
But Verstappen is still king of the hill.
King of the hill. Okay. Mine was the just utter poor performance of Sergio Perez.
I mean, I would even say biggest surprise on the grid was it's not so much of a surprise, but I would even say Nico Hülkenberg, because he did a lot of amazing qualifying efforts.
I would say underappreciated team would be Haas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely stepped up. I'm not shocked by what McLaren did. You know, I mean, they got two very good drivers. you know, the car was coming forward last in 2023 into 2024. So I think they went the right way. I just think the one thing that McLaren kind of lacks is, you know, a sense of, they just don't seem sharp on the wall, you know? They're like one step below the clown show that is Ferrari. And Ferrari kind of cleaned it up this year a bit.
Yeah.
Do we have a driver of the year in any particular, whether it was a driver for the year or race of the year?
Sorry, I have to circle back to IndyCar. I got the Christian Rasmussen part wrong. He is still at Ed Carpenter Racing in the 21 with
Rossi
in the 20.
Okay.
So the third driver in Rahal Letterman Lanigan is Lewis Foster.
Right, which Christian pointed out.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I have to make sure I said my piece right. But that's
that.
All right.
Nate, you sure you're in 2025 and not still back in 2024?
Yeah, I know. It makes you think. Oh.
Yeah. My race of the year was Brazil.
That was really good.
Yeah.
See, it's funny. Like, I always circle back to, like, British Grand Prix was pretty good this year, I would add. As like a, I guess, a superlative. Monaco is its own thing.
Qualifying's fine.
Right. Qualifying is...
The race itself is...
Yeah.
Woof.
Just make the cars smaller.
Yeah. Good idea. All right. Let's move to IndyCar. Stand out from IndyCar this year.
Well, I mean, right? I'd even say Connor Daly's surprise podium and leading the Indy 500 was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I mean, Alex Palou continues to impress with his championship winning ways.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say, Christian?
I mean, Palou and Ganassi are just... It's just kind of mirroring what's going on in F1.
What they do with Dixon.
Well, yeah, what they do with Dixon, but what's going on in F1 with Max and Red Bull, too. It's just eerily similar, the dominance and consistency from those guys.
Right.
I think the bigger storylines is Penske dropping the ball on the season. I think they had cars to win every single weekend and just couldn't get it done. And they threw away way too many.
Yeah. Also, I think that oversight, races. I don't want to call it the oversight, but whatever that was with the push the pass crap.
Mm-hmm.
The hybrid system?
No, the push to pass when they had they overrode the push to pass.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because here I am thinking, like, I think the biggest ball drop was the hybrid system debut because it screwed Scott Dixon in Mid Ohio.
Yeah,
of any chance to win a championship.
I mean, but that one race at Mid Ohio isn't going to save Dixon's season.
No, But I get that, but at that time it kind of deflates his whole effort of even being considered a championship threat. I would say,
fair point.
50 plus points lost on a possible win. I mean, Scott Dixon is the winningest driver at Mid Ohio.
Yeah.
So I think that was the biggest blow to his campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, but even up until that point, he had two bad races with
Yeah, it happened.
And Road America. Right. So, it's... Yeah, it definitely doesn't help, but... And then, I mean, Portland, he... He got caught out in a dumb position, but I mean, both him and was it Fittipaldi? Both of them could have done better in that scenario.
Yeah.
I think the one that's flying under the radar is Herta, because he had. He was one good race away from challenging Pelot in a point showdown.
Yeah, I would say like that would be my comeback team of the year, which would be Andretti.
Yeah,
for sure, absolutely.
Because they reorganized, they shrunk themselves, and they got focused.
Yeah,
I think that's what you're starting to see with a lot of teams. I mean, even Penske went from 4 to 3. Mm-hmm. Ganassi went down they're down to 3 cars now.
Yeah, they were at 5.
They're at 5. So I as much as you like seeing a lot of cars out there, I think a certain point with certain teams, I think when you get beyond 3 cars, I think it starts to get kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that's been kind of proven.
Mm-hmm. Cause yeah.
So, I mean, but I would say that was probably the comeback team of the year was Andretti.
Yeah. And I mean, the one race that really sticks out to me is Indy. I mean, if Herta didn't lose the car when he did and just had a top five, I mean,
right.
That's
a lot of points.
23 to 7, even the fifth, that's 23 points right there. And that would have put him
that's a fair point.
At within 10 points of the championship towards the end of the season. So, I mean, he's still had, you know, Detroit and that first race at Milwaukee, which were bad as well. I mean, the back-to-back race of Indy and Detroit weren't great.
But I would even add for Scott McLaughlin, you know, striking distance within a championship, you know, just another good race. He'd be there.
Well, another good race where his team didn't get.
Yeah.
Or his team, you know, the push the pass thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Because
didn't
him and Newgarden finish 1-2?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, there's most of your points right there.
There's your points. Right.
That's, it was.
Actually, sorry, let me rephrase that. Second place for. Yeah, no, it wouldn't have gotten him the win, but he would have been within 5 points. So
it's just another good race away from a potential championship.
Right. Yeah.
Fair point.
Definitely, consistency is the key with IndyCar. That's the biggest thing. And I mean, Pelot had Detroit, Iowa race 1, and then the second Milwaukee race.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, 3 bad ones there. Herta, 3 bad races. McLaughlin, 4. Power, 4, 5 races? Yeah, 5 races. So, I mean, it's not a lot, but, I mean, you're basically given only a couple weeks to really miss. Other than that, you have to be in the top 5 every other race if you want to be champion in the series.
Sure.
Yep.
So, but I think the best race of the year was the Indy 500.
I would say so.
Great race, great finish.
I would say so.
Everything.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to NASCAR.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
The Nashville Super Speedway race was pretty good.
So, and Milwaukee was good too.
Milwaukee was great.
Yeah,
is it both races?
Those were both welcome additions.
I think the introduction of an alternate tire on the ovals really spiced things up.
It spiced it up too. So yeah,
I think that
point.
definitely helped it out.
Yep. Yep. And I like the fact that those weren't like. It just kind of proves that like a mile and a half track can produce really good racing. Mm-hmm. You know, so. I took it. All right, Nate, let's move on to NASCAR.
What? Well.
Number one driver has got to be Logano.
No, stop. That is, okay, in NASCAR's history, that is the least deserving champion.
So I think.
He is the champion. I don't know what you guys' problem
right.
with this.
Right.
He's,
right.
You did
right.
the rules.
All right.
He did
thanks,
the end. He won.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think this is. That's the story, is the stupidity of the playoff system.
Yeah, it gets worse every year. Like, I thought Ryan Blaney was bad enough. Listen, cool with Ryan Blaney, no problems. But he, going into this year, was the least deserving champion in NASCAR's history, and it only got worse.
Yeah, I don't think the playoff system... The playoff system is... It's a gimmick, and it doesn't do any. I don't think it brings anything to the. I think it diminishes the whole championship.
Yeah, and then you have guys like Austin Dillon dumping two drivers
because he was desperate, right?
Even count to a spot now
because he needed to win a race, so he decided he was going to drive through people.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is just it's dumb. That's not how it should be. Because none of that crap would be going on if it was a full season championship. There'd be none of that crap.
None of it. None.
NASCAR wants to wonder why they're losing TV viewers. It's because of that.
Yeah. It's just dumb. You know, it's at this point it's ran its course, and you got to get rid of it.
You got to get rid of it, and. I would go back. I would get rid of it, and I would go back to the old system, and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't work, then you know what? You go back to the teams build their own cars. Because they've sanitized this sport so much, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's beyond overboard at this point.
Yep.
So I just. And like I'll tell you, two disappointments for me. The finish of the Daytona 500. It was a great race until that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not even a NASCAR fan. That's gonna say like, what was the craziest crash you saw? Blah, 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 blah. But I'd even say the best finish of the year was at Watkins Glen. Between Chris Buescher and SVG. That was an incredible finish.
That was a great finish, great race, yeah.
You know, so NASCAR always puts on a great show at the Glen, and it just, you know, year after year, it goes to show that that's really an amazing place to hold a NASCAR Cup race.
Yep.
It was a great, you know, fight between a road ringer and a Cup regular.
And I would say probably an all-arounder in Buescher.
Well, that's the thing, because even, you know, he was signed an RFK, not just for his, you know, championships in the Xfinity Series, but he's, you know, more than capable of winning beyond ovals. He's a great road course racer.
Yep.
And, you know, I think of the drivers in the grid was the best non-playoff driver.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real shame to not see him in the playoffs.
I can attest he is a very good road course driver since getting passed by him at F1 Boston.
Yeah,
I think you should have wrecked him though.
Yeah,
I mean
dead left.
But at the end of the day. He just beat a bunch of kids, so...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway. Get in the past.
All right. Anything to look for next year, Nate?
I'm always, you know, my big thing is the Daytona 500. Okay. You know, that's just my favorite race to watch.
Nate.
Period. It is.
Nate, come on.
What?
We know what the big race of next year is going to be.
What?
Trucks at Live Rock.
That'll be really fun to watch.
Yeah, the trucks at Lime Rock. Oh,
and ARCA at Lime Rock, too.
ARCA at Lime Rock is going to be fantastic.
And as a traditional NASCAR fan, I think it's Xfinity trucks and even ARCA go back to Rockingham, the Rock.
Wow, really? That's exciting.
So that is a big welcome for, I think.
Yeah.
As a traditional NASCAR fan, that's a great racetrack to hold the race. And I can't imagine Bowman Gray is going to be anything, you know.
I think it's going to be better than
L.A.
L.A., yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'm just curious how those – well, I mean, they run the freaking modifieds there, so, I mean, geez. So I think something needed to be done with that. I would, again, this is something I think they just need to go back to Daytona and just that's where the clash is and that's it, you know.
But see, it makes sense to go to Bowman Gray because it's in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And you just instead of just going to LA, make a BS track.
Right.
Right. And then tear it out.
But the whole purpose of the clash was it was all the pole winners. It wasn't the race winners.
Right.
You know?
I think the peak was it was pole winners and Daytona winners, but I would fix it to Daytona 500 winners.
I wouldn't even. I just think they should just go back to the roots of what it was.
Yeah, past winners of the event and pole winners.
Yeah, that was it.
Because that's how Ken Schrader got in with the Red Bull car.
Yeah. Of the clash, right?
Yeah,
that's what I would do. But, anyways, all right, let's talk some sports car racing. I think I'm going to go car of the year. I'm going to go with the
Cadillac.
No, the Porsche.
Oh, they got it
together this year.
It's not just car of the year. That's manufacturer of the year.
Yeah, manufacturer.
They dominated
because in GT too.
Yeah, prototype and GT. Just every event, they pretty much they cleaned house on just about every big race and
big race
all of the sports car championships. Except for the WC Manufacturers Championship.
Manufacturers team.
Which went to
and
Toyota.
That's where and I'm going to go. Second. So I'm going to go team of the year. I'm going to say is, at least on the WEC side, is Toyota Gazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they were resilient all year.
Yeah.
And to get the Manufacturers Championship, I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the IMSA side, if I had to pick team of the year, I'm going to go across all of the divisions, and just say from that I'm going to say it was AO.
I mean, AO, but more specifically, Lauren Heinrich.
Well, he's driver of the year.
Yeah. Well, but it's a close. He definitely dominated, but I think Kevin Estre is the other driver up there.
I'm just going to say that was team of the year. So from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, it's a quasi factory team. It's basically it's kind of like Flying Lizards. It's a privately run team that was the factory team. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, although I don't want to like not mention Ross Gunn either, because he had a stellar season.
Yep.
I mean
the harder racing guys.
Yep. Just one position away from being the champions in
GT Pro. I'll go underrated car of the year in IMSA was the BMW.
Well, yes, and they had that incredible run.
Or
in GTP.
GTP.
Yeah, they had that incredible run at Indy.
Yeah.
I would say Indy was race of the year because of the rain.
Yes, yes. 100%. 100%. Of course, you know, the 24 Hours of Daytona was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I'll tell you, I think the eight hours of Indy was pretty good. Or no, that's not it. What's it 8 hours?
Six.
Okay.
It's IMSA is six, and then SRO is and eight.
SROIGT, whatever that is. Yeah, it was eight. Yeah. So, but I thought that was pretty damn cool. So, what to look forward to for next year?
Aston Martin straight.
Aston Martin, I think. Yeah, I mean they've been told that they can. They've been asked, or IMSA's kind of told them, we would like you to, you know, run the loud motor.
Crank it up.
Yep, which I think would be great.
But and that's good just from any manufacturer. Like, you're welcome to bring whatever you want, and we'll run it. Like that, I think that's the important message. Like, we'll have all these different cars competing all together.
You know, I'm hoping this move from Lamborghini, I mean, from Prema to whatever it was, Iron Lynx, whatever they were. I don't know. I forget. It was Prema, Iron Lynx, whatever, to Riley. I hope it's not just a one-year thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the idea is, I think they realize they're gonna. I mean, I think WEC or FIA I think they dropped the ball. By, you know, mandating these, you know, two driver teams and stuff. Two car teams and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great that you have two of everything, but I think you can have one car per team work.
Yeah.
But I would just one car per team is fine. And if you just limit it that way, then I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It stinks that the big manufacturers can't bring two, but they can go find someone and partner with them.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that they'll run the Michelin Endurance Cup, I think is good. So,
yes.
You know, and then if things progress, it could lead to a few more outings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we'll see what happens. So I think they're right to stay in this market, because I think the U.S. market actually, you know, is probably the best market for Lamborghini. You know,
yeah.
I think the one that, you know, the other one that is, you know, is out there. I mean, I think Ferrari's making a mistake not coming.
Yes.
I mean, big time.
And
right, their biggest market is the United States. Right?
It's it's here, or it's. I think it's the North America, and then it's followed. Then it's. I think it's after that. It's China.
So, I mean, they're totally MIA. In what really is where they should be.
Yeah, I mean they're in the GT field,
barely.
Barely. It's not all that much.
Well, they're in the GT field, and then when they run the big races, they have to have Ricci come in and save their butt, you know.
Well, yeah, because there's only one full-time Ferrari, and that's in the GTD class.
It's Conquest, right?
Yeah. So
I think there's two Ferraris this year, so that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. It is disappointing not seeing them want to come over and be a part of this.
Right.
I mean, I guess The same.
At least do the intern job.
The same could be said to Toyota, but and I guess vice versa, Acura going the other
direction. Acura going the other direction, yeah.
But I know with Toyota and Acura, they just need to flip the branding on the cars.
Yeah, go back and that's forth. The same. Yeah, it's the same thing.
So
yeah.
I think with the way Honda's positioning themselves, I wouldn't mm-hmm. be surprised if they rebranded the Acura as just Honda.
Honda. Yeah.
But then again, that shouldn't deter them from going over to Le Mans and or competing at WEC with mm-hmm. with an Acura badge on it, because they ran the Acura LMP2 and LMP1 car during the mid 2000s. So that shouldn't be a real deterrent there. I think if Toyota is going to bring another GT3 car, they need to figure out if they're just going to brand it as a Toyota or a Lexus in the States here.
Yeah.
And if they could just go to Toyota and then just bring the prototypes over to, that would be very much welcomed.
Yep. No.
Yeah, for sure.
That's for sure.
I mean, I think it'll happen pretty soon too.
Yeah.
I would say within 2, maybe 3 years.
I hope so. I'd like to see all of these manufacturers competing together. And I know there's, I know you can sit there and say like there's some bias potentially between hypercars and LMDHs, but the whole point is that the rule set is supposed to be a convergence of the top tier prototypes mm-hmm. between all of the sports cars and prototype series,
right? So, yep.
It should be a welcoming addition, and yes, I don't get me wrong. I think this year Toyota and Ferrari got screwed heavily in the BOP for some of the WEC races. Like, it was just pretty blatant that like, hey, we don't want you to win this race, even though you've clearly shown that you are capable of winning it in the past.
Right.
But it is, unfortunately, they don't have unlimited testing, and there's always the potential for sandbagging, because what team really wants to show their full hand before the race? So, I mean, it's hard to just BOP with 8 rounds of racing every year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And not every track is the same, so some cars are going to be stronger than they were previously, or you might not hit a car hard enough because they're even better at the next track than they are where they just came from, or you have a team that just absolutely lucks out one race and then gets screwed the next, even though the BOP had nothing to do with their performance.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. I mean, the fact that the fact that there are as many winners, different winners, as there are in IMSA and WEC is great, that they're able to figure out something with all the cars and put together something good for everyone to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. I think that covers kind of a little bit of a loose recap of everything that we saw last year. We're sort of moving towards the season kicking off. I think we're at this point, I think we're two weeks out, Christian, from the Daytona. Is it the Roar? Is it 2 weeks out?
Checking. Hold on.
Excuse me, Sean. That sounds about right.
Yes. Yeah, the Roar is happening the 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Okay,
yeah,
we're 2 weeks out from that, and then it'll be into 24 hours.
Yes.
And then, Nate, NASCAR will be revving up.
Oh, Sean, I know. Okay. I can't wait. You know, I'm going to be on a ship, but I'm gonna find a way to watch this. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Nate, you got to find a way to defend your crown, too.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, no, well, that ain't going to happen. I mean, ask me my favorite racing moment last year. Well, winning the iRacing Daytona 500 in split 14 on Friday, 9 p.m. To be very specific about it, because, you know what I mean? Because there's a, you know, someone will say, I won the iRacing Daytona 500. It's like, oh, it wasn't top split. And I'm like, I get it. So, oh, man, that was, coolest moment of the year. One of them, anyways.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And then our race win at Jacksonville was pretty sick.
Yeah. I still don't know
still
how
on the high.
Well, I just the time we were able to gain back.
Yeah.
That we did really just confused the hell out of me. I have no idea how we got such a lead over everyone in our class, but I mean, hey, it worked. Yeah. Everyone did their best stuff, and we tried to minimize mistakes as much as we could.
Yeah.
Except for my adventurous wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, did your best version of a Delta Wing impersonation.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, man.
And of course, always a big thank you for Liam Mahan helping us out with that effort. So,
yeah, Liam did a kick-ass job.
Sure did. Yep. We should have him on the show.
I know.
Soon. Eventually.
All right, boys.
Well, happy New Year, guys. Happy
New Year. Happy New Year to our listeners.
Yeah.
Nate, good luck on the ship.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, gents. Yes.
When do you shove off?
Apparently, it's sometime around the 10th. No definite date, but that's the circled date as of now.
Okay. Well, we'll be kicking back up with episode 2, Christian, probably the week of the Roar.
Yeah, that would probably make the most sense.
Because we can do some intelligence gathering between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty quiet on the motorsports front. Hopefully by then the coin team will have announced their two drivers. And this too.
When is Fox going to announce their announcers?
Oh yeah, you know what?
Sean, come on.
That's a fair point. They've announced the schedule and everything, but they haven't announced the announcing team.
Unbelievable. I know. Alan Bestwick, he's in hiding. I believe it.
I mean, what have they got? A little over a month?
February, right?
March. Or yeah, February. Yeah. So I was going to say...
You would think that they would get the guys together and do some, you know... Rehearsing, like meaning calling races from last year, you know?
Right.
To make sure everybody gels, but hey. Who knows? Could be DW and anyways.
So that's what's keeping me up at night, Sean. I don't know about you.
But... Anyways, yeah. Yeah. That's a fair point, Nate.
Yep.
Fair point. All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.